The book of Proverbs was probably originally compiled by Solomon and later supplemented according to Proverbs 25 and verse 1. It says it was organized under the reign of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Proverbs are short, practical statements of general truth. And the word proverb comes from a Hebrew word that means to be like something, to be a comparison, to note the likeness in things that are basically unlike. So we're going to start a series this morning. It's going to be a brief series, about a month, in which we're going to look at the Proverbs and look at them topically as they address a particular theme. It's not going to be our intention to look at all the themes that are in the Proverbs. It's not going to be an exhaustive study, but we will look at it probably through the month of October and maybe into November. This morning, we're going to begin by examining what the Proverbs have to say about our attitude concerning work. Attitude of our society about the matter of work has been changing for several years. The younger generation of Americans have a totally different attitude about work than their parents' generation and definitely than their grandparents' generation. And Christians have to be aware of that, have to recognize that how we view work should not necessarily come from our peers or from the society that surrounds us, but there is something basically biblical about having an attitude towards work that creates a work righteousness, a work truth. And so Solomon has much to say about that, and so as we look at these this morning, we'll just be here for a short time in this study. We're going to look at it from both a negative and positive standpoint. Proverbs look at the danger and consequences of failing to have a practical and positive attitude about our work. Particularly Solomon makes a lot of comparisons about the results and comparing having the right attitude about work to what is probably the more popular attitude about work. We're going to begin really with two extended proverbs on the subject of work. I picked the first one simply because it's the first passage in Proverbs that I ever memorized. When I was in college, we had the book of Proverbs under Brother Homer Haley. And to get a C in the class, you had to memorize and quote at least 60 verses. To get a B, you had to do 80. To get an A, you had to do 100. I don't think they do that anymore. But this was the first one I ever memorized. And I can probably still quote it 50 years later, but I'm not going to try to. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a vagabond and your needs like an armed man. And I couldn't have quoted it. I just remembered Brother Haley made us quote everything out of the old American Standard Bible, and I've used the New American Standard for so long, I would have matched it all up if I had tried to quote it this morning. So Solomon uses the ant as the example of an industrious individual compared to a lazy man. Perhaps as soon as we say the ant, most of us, our minds probably will go to Aesop's fable of the ant and the grasshopper. That's another very familiar symbol or use of the ant this way. And certainly ants are interesting to observe. But Solomon's practical comparison here is directed to the lazy man, obviously the result of being a sluggard, as he's called in the scriptures. Too many people in our modern world are content to live on what others will provide them. This is a popular economic concept. Probably more young people on our college campuses believe this is the right way to approach the economy than any other. It's called socialism, where the mass provides for the individual. Winston Churchill once observed that the problem with that is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. But that is a very common concept, that the government owes me, the world owes me this living. Solomon points us to God's wisdom on this matter. The child of God understands that there is a personal responsibility to work diligently and to provide, and that if we meet that personal responsibility, then we will see to it that we are cared for. The second one is Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Here Solomon says, I pass by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. So this passage is a practical observation about the inevitable consequences of laziness. And that ethic is brought to us even in the New Testament, because the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even as we were with you, we gave you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he's not to eat either." It is our responsibility as God's servants to have an industrious nature and to work. But most of the Proverbs are short little statements, and I want to, in the time we have here, just spend a couple minutes looking at three contrasts that the Proverbs make concerning this matter of having a work ethic, being an industrious and contributing individual to society. First of all, the Proverbs look at this one that Solomon consistently calls a sluggard. And it's a word we don't use very much anymore. I think Jim Pickard's the one I heard use it most in my life. He would call people sluggards all the time. And he had a particular thing in mind, and it's actually the exact definition of the word. If you go to an English dictionary and look up the word sluggard, it says a lazy, slow, inactive person. And so the Proverbs demonstrates the attitude of this type of person towards life. He has difficulty getting out of bed. Proverbs 26 and verse 14 says, "As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed." Proverbs 20 and verse 13, "Do not love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with food." So the sluggard is the one who is always tired, always too tired to get anything done. He avoids work. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26, "The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back." Makes excuses as to why they can't get things done. Proverbs 22, verse 13, "The sluggard says, 'There's a lion outside. I would be killed in the streets. I can't get out and go to work. Look at all the danger that is there.'" But the real thing is that the sluggard considers that that's the smart way to live. Look at all those stupid people killing themselves, getting up and going to work every day. Look at my coworker who really works hard instead of trying to get out of the work and putting in as little as possible in order to collect his paycheck. Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. So that basic attitude. And Solomon contrasts that to what God would have us to be. Proverbs 12:11, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Proverbs 16:26, a worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. And that's the old ethic. If you're hungry, you'll work for it. The new ethic is, if you're hungry, somebody should give it to you, provide it for you. And so that's the basic attitude about these things. The industrious person is motivated to do for himself and to accomplish, whereas the sluggard thinks that's a foolish way to live. So the second contrast that Solomon makes in the Proverbs is how these two attitudes affect the other people in these people's lives. And so the impact of the sluggard is described this way in Proverbs 10:26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. And perhaps you've experienced this. Anybody that's worked in a group setting. And I remember this from my early days while I was working my way through school. How irritating it would be to go in and be on a job and need to get something done, and maybe somebody else was assigned to the same task with you, and they would just let you do it all. You couldn't depend upon them to do anything. Solomon says of this in Proverbs 18:9, he also is slack in his work, is a brother to him who destroys. It's destructive behavior to slack off. And he contrasts that to the industrious person in Proverbs 22:29. He says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So someone that is known for doing good work, a craftsman, someone like that, he's the one that will receive honor. He is the one that will be respected. Proverbs 25:13. There's somebody at the door. Excuse me. Yes. Proverbs 25:13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the souls of his master. So this industrious individual is, Solomon says, is refreshing to those who know him. Then, thirdly, Solomon points out two contrasting results in the lives of these two types of individuals. He says in Proverbs 10:4, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. And so this attitude of the one who is negligent compared to the one who is diligent. And probably, I think about this. I remember working at the steel foundry when I was in college and hearing the people that I worked with. The criticism that often the ones who were not as industrious, not as willing to work, had of the people who were actually doing the work. And then hearing them complain about how lucky that person was, how fortunate, all the breaks that he got, everything happened good to them. And that's not always necessarily true, because Proverbs are of general truth. But what he basically says here is you get sloppy about your work and you are creating your own poorness, your own poverty. Proverbs 10 and verse 16. The wages of the righteous is life. The income of the wicked is punishment. So one approaches it one way and has one result. The person who approaches it the other has a negative result. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Proverbs 10 and verse 4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich. Proverbs 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. It's the ones that are not willing to work that often have to be made to work and resent those who make them work. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 19. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. So when we look at these things from the Proverbs, there can be no question as to what Solomon considers the wiser approach to life. He commends to us a life that demonstrates what we call a good work ethic. And there is in our day and time a lot of criticism of what scholars call the Protestant work ethic, but I want to suggest to you it really didn't come from the Protestant Reformation. It really comes from the Old Testament that says that a man should have an industrious attitude and take a responsible attitude towards work and take a responsible attitude towards providing for himself and providing for his family. That doesn't mean there aren't circumstances that come into life that make that impossible. Certainly in Solomon's day, men were injured in their work. Men were injured in battle. There was sickness. There was all of those things are a part of life. But what he is saying in general, which is what the Proverbs is all about, is a person, how a person's life turns out to be is of his own making in the way in which he approaches life, and particularly the things of life that go to provide food, clothing, shelter, and well-being. That it is our responsibility to look to ourselves to provide that and not to depend upon others to provide it for us. So I think that's an interesting look at that, and I think I was motivated to pick that one as the first topic because of reading some stuff on the internet about some of the movements that are afoot about guaranteeing people income, whether they work or not, and things like that. And so in future lessons, we'll pick another topic, but we will only do this for the next three or four times that I am scheduled to do this early talk. Brother Tommy, I think, is scheduled to do the prayer, and then we will go to our class this morning.